and welcome back to the Sean Green Show. I am Sean Green. Make sure you guys go to SeanGreenShow.com. That's SeanGreenShow.com. All the latest videos, news, and podcasts are up at SeanGreenShow.com. Make sure you also check out WGNPlus.com. All the good stuff is up there at WGNPlus.com, including all the podcasts that you do here on SeanGreenShow.com. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you must follow me at Sean Green Show. And if you want to follow me on Facebook, it is Sean Green Show Media. Got a jam-packed show today, and for those of you that that hear this music, and I'm a big fan of Nine Inch Nails, and the last Batman Arkham Knight trailer featured The Wretched by Nine Inch Nails, and that's why I came in with this. And we're just a few hours away from the release of Batman Arkham Knight. I cannot wait. And I had to get Ray Carcillo on to talk about this title because I love Batman. I got my Batman shirt on right now, and I love it. And Ray Carcillo from EGMnow.com and RayCarcillo.com, he's on the Super Celebrity Hotline with us right now. Hey, what's going on, buddy?
I'm Sean. How you doing, dude?
I'm doing all right. So, all right. First and foremost, Batman Arkham Knight. What's the story behind this game? And this is one of the games that I just could not wait. I can't wait to play because I finally get to drive the Batmobile. So tell me this is a good game.
So Batman Arkham Knight takes place about a year after Batman Arkham City. Joker spoiler alert, folks, it's been a few years, but Joker passed away at the end of Arkham City. And it kind of, basically Gotham's kind of been in like a time period of peace and prosperity. Crime is on an all-time low. Batman hasn't been that busy. And then, suddenly, out of nowhere, somebody we haven't seen since Arkham Asylum, the Scarecrow pops up. Scarecrow comes back, he comes back with a vengeance, most potent fear toxin yet. And let's just say, nobody in Gotham, including Batman himself, is safe from the effects of this fear toxin. And what's really interesting is, and not to give much away, but let's just say Batman's going to be affected by fear toxin for a lot of the game. So you don't know what's real, you don't know what's not, you don't know who you can trust, and it's just basically Batman versus the world, and all his classic villains that aren't the Joker come back. Scarecrow, Penguin, Two-Face, Catwoman, Poison Ivy, including a couple of new ones. I don't know if you guys want me to give you spoilers, but there's been a couple of villains that they haven't announced that I've played and met in the game, and I think a lot of fans out there are going to be pretty pumped to see him in action.
All right, great. Now, what are some of the, do they have other modes? Do they have like a co-op play or anything like that, or online play?
So there's no online play in Batman Arkham Knight. It's just, basically, it's a story mode. It's just, you have a challenge mode and a new game plus mode. And there is story-based DLC that will allow you to play as Harley Quinn, later on as the Red Hood, and a couple other Batman characters. There's also an interesting thing where you can actually control two characters at once in the game. So Batman will fight alongside Catwoman, he'll fight alongside Nightwing, he'll fight alongside Robin, and they'll both be in the arena, and you can switch back and forth between them seamlessly so that you can do these really awesome two-character combos and really keep your combo meter going higher than ever before. But it's one person, there's only two characters. There's no co-op, traditional co-op anyway, and there's no online mode. This is a single-player experience. It's all about being the Batman, and as you know, Batman usually prefers to fly solo.
Right. Now, one of the things that, like I said before I got to you, was that you get a chance to actually drive the Batmobile. Is that everything that it's cracked up to be? And, I mean, have you gotten that far?
You're driving the Batmobile, Sean, from almost the very beginning of the game. It is at this point, it is basically like one of Batman's gadgets. It gets him out of some sticky situations, remote controlling the Batmobile so you can do some crazy puzzles where Batman will be on one side of Gotham and the Batmobile will be riding around on the other. There's two modes. There's the racing mode, just the true vehicle mode with the afterburner thruster, the fire coming out the back. You can go super fast, hairpin turns. And then there's the combat mode where it basically turns into a tank. And you can, you can fire missiles. You can fire sort of mini gun. It's also got this interesting thing that if you're driving through the streets, because obviously Batman doesn't kill, it has this electromagnetic field around it, so that if anybody tries to get touch the Batmobile while it's in motion, it will get an electric shock and it'll get thrown away harmlessly away from the Batmobile. So it's just amazing all the features they've crammed into it. They've still found a way to make playing as Batman on foot important.
Wow. Now, as far as let's talk gameplay here and actual control, because I noticed, like, the first two Arkham games, you know, even with the second ones, the moves were pretty much the same. It was some of the combo moves were a little different in the second one. Did they add more combo moves in Arkham Knight? Is there any, as far as fighting and overall control of the Batman? Is there anything new we should look forward to here?
So the big thing with fighting now is that there are new environmental takedowns, and you can also, when you disarm an enemy, you can use their weapon against themselves. So, like, if you're next to, an open electrical panel or something, Batman will take the bad guy's face and they'll slam it into it. He'll also, if they're carrying a baseball bat, like, he'll kick it out of their hands, pick it up himself, and then, like, hit the guy in the ribs or smack him across the head with it. Like, so it's a lot more environmental interactions in terms of combat that's going around, and it gives you a lot of different moves. Batman's got a lot of the same stuff that he has in the last game. You know, you can use your batarangs, you can get your bat claw. You got a new gadget called the Disruptor, which is actually great for going into the Predator room. The Disruptor allows Batman to basically shoot, like, this small little, like, bat tracking device.
Yeah.
And what it does is it shorts out the enemy's guns, so if they try and shoot Batman, his head blows up in their face and knocks them out. So there's a lot of new things. Actually, a lot of the new stuff happens in the Predator rooms. There's also the Fear Takedown, where you can actually, it's probably the most fun thing in the game for me. Is the Predator rooms used to be really hard, but now I'm having a lot more fun with them because I'm finding ways to try and lure guys to get bunched up together. And then what I'm doing is I'm using the Fear Takedown, and you can take up the three guys out at once.
Oh, my God.
Batman just moves like a blur. They don't know what hit them. Guys are screaming. They're freaking out. They're misfiring their guns. And it's just, next thing you know, you like wipe out half the room, and nobody even, and Batman, and then Batman's gone again. And they don't even know what happened. It's just, you've never felt so badass before than when you do a full-fledged Fear Takedown.
Oh, wow. Now, what about the, as far as, you know, the classic weapons from the Arkham series, do they bring back, explosives that he had when he sprayed it on the walls, like a plastic explosive he sprayed on the wall to get through stuff? Do they have, like, the Riddler challenges on there again? What's the deal with that?
So you do have your old weapons back. You have the scanner to crack codes. You have batarangs, you have remote-controlled batarangs. You have the explosive gel. And in terms of Riddler challenges, what's interesting is most of the Riddler challenges now are built around the Batmobile. So they're like racing obstacle courses where Batman will have to drive the Batmobile, you know, around these crushing pylons and over bottomless pits and ride up the wall. There's still some more traditional Riddler challenges, but there's so many that involve the Batmobile now that it's really interesting that you really get your chance to put the car through its paces, and really you have to get good with the Batmobile if you want to do good at the Riddler challenges.
All right, great. And last about this game, you think this is going to be the last Batman game? And if so, do you think there's possibilities of spinoffs like Robin or even Nightwing?
Well, I don't know if this will be the last Batman game. I think it's going to be the last one by Rocksteady. They kind of have hinted that they're kind of done with the series. This is the end of their trilogy. And the game does really have a note of finality to it. So I don't think we're going to get spinoffs from it, unfortunately. Do I think there'll be more Batman games in the future? Yeah, it's too much of a cash cow for Warner Brothers. But I don't think that they're going to do it in this universe. They'll have to start like a brand new storyline, do things, you know, kind of start from scratch almost. Because this game really has a tone of finality killing.
All right, great, great. Now let's move on to E3. You recently attended E3, correct?
Yes, I was at E3 all last week.
All right, so what were the big things that were at E3 that you can actually talk about and that you were pumped up for at E3?
Well, there was a lot. I mean, starting from the press conferences all the way up to all the games themselves, probably the biggest announcement to come out last week, which funny enough wasn't a game announcement. It was actually Xbox and Microsoft announcing that the Xbox One, by end of the year, will have full backwards compatibility with all of Xbox 360 games.
Oh, my God. So, I mean, what was the reason for this? I mean, is it because they want to, like, bring everybody over to the Xbox One? Or, I mean, what's the purpose of that?
They realized that the best way to get people on board with Xbox One was to allow them to bring their Xbox 360 games with them. This is a huge blow. This is not only a huge boon for Microsoft, but it's a huge blow to Sony. Because basically what this means is that obviously you're going to download a patch. It's going to be a hardware update. And all you can do, and then all you have to do is take your Xbox 360 games, put it in your Xbox One, and what will happen is that then the game will be downloaded from the cloud to your Xbox One. You take the disc out, you never have to worry about it again. It installs to the hard drive. The only thing we don't know about is save data, but I'm thinking that you can get it, because obviously Xbox 360, you can put a thumb drive in it. You can probably take your save data, put it in a thumb drive from Xbox 360, bring it over, put it into Xbox One. You can probably bring your save data over that way, because Xbox 360, I don't think, was not cloud compatible. But what I'm thinking is that even if not, that's still a huge boon, because if you're like me, you've got like 400 Xbox 360 games, and that's a lot of games just to stick in a box somewhere and put them in your closet when you obviously transit over to the next generation of consoles. You know, when you couple that with there being cheaper, and then, you know, Xbox One, so with all, they have more exclusives than Sony. Xbox One has the 1-2-3 combo this holiday season that Sony is really, really going to be reeling from.
Oh, wow. Now, I mean, with the backwards compatibility, I mean, do you lose any quality when you go from, you know, 360 to the Xbox One? I mean, would the graphics be the same? Would it be better? I mean, what am I to expect if I was to, you know, do this?
So the gameplay will stay the same, but what Microsoft was saying is that the reason why it's going to take them a few extra months is that they're going back through their back catalog, and they're basically giving most of their games, at least their first-party games, they're giving them a new coat of polish. So there will be games like Mass Effect, Gears of War, Red Dead Redemption, that you'll see that will get, just not a major graphical upgrade, but will get tweaked a little bit, just enough that you'll see an extra layer of polish and look even better on Xbox One, even if it's not a full jump from Xbox, even if it's not a full jump up graphics-wise.
All right, great. And what do you think about Sony's presentation? What do they have big that they announced at E3?
Well, Sony, of course, they showed off a lot of great games. Also, there's a new game called Horizon First Dawn, which is basically, it looks like you're a hunter-gatherer from the caveman time period, but you're hunting giant robotic dinosaurs.
Oh, wow.
It looks amazing. Like you have a bow and arrow, but you're hunting robot dinosaurs. And it's like, I don't know the story, I don't know how the gameplay's gonna work, but it looks phenomenal.
Wow. Now let's talk about Street Fighter V. This was reported to be at E3. What were your thoughts about that game?
Yes, Street Fighter V was indeed at E3. I actually got to play it. They only had the six characters they announced playable there, so there's no real surprises. They, of course, announced Cammy and Birdie, which was really a surprise for them to bring Birdie back. But, the game handles well. But my biggest surprise comes from they got rid of the focus meter from Street Fighter 4. They added this new thing called V-Skills, which really, when you play it, reminds me a lot of the meter burn from Mortal Kombat, where it's this three segmented bar, and depending on how many segments you sacrifice, depends on how much more powerful your moves, your special moves will become. So I think that was really interesting to see them actually kind of seemingly take a page out of a direct rival and kind of incorporate it into their own game. So, obviously, Ryu has a stronger fireball or you know, Kenny will do, you know, will do her drill kicks, you know, moving stronger. Bernie used his chains and had some really awesome moves. So, I mean, it was really curious. It was really interesting to see them make this drastic change and get rid of the focus meter, which was obviously such a huge part of Street Fighter 4 and implement this new mechanic. But other than that, the game played great. It was very smooth. Obviously, I'd love to see more than just six characters when I play it next time. But, it looks like it's coming along very, very well.
All right, and last not least about E3, what about Nintendo's setup at E3? Were they a little weak this year?
Yeah, this was actually one of the weakest years Nintendo's had in a while. They really didn't announce anything new. They clarified some names and titles and release dates. We now know it's Star Fox Zero, and we know it's Fire Emblem Fates. We got release dates for Yoshi's Woolly World. But, overall, these were already games that we knew were coming. You'll see Mario Maker, we knew was coming. They look great. They play great. They announced a new Legend of Zelda game, kind of in the vein of Four Swords, called Triforce Tower, I think Triforce Legends. But just going to be for the 3DS, which I thought was interesting. But aside from a, you know, it's not a full-fledged Legend of Zelda world like A Link Between Worlds was. So it's kind of interesting that they kind of came out with a lot of half projects or a couple of, ancillary things and basically just clarified a lot, which means they're either planning something big for next year or they just don't have a lot on the horizon. I think a lot of people were very, very disappointed that The Legend of Zelda Wii U was not an E3 this year. That means that game is probably not coming for at least another year and a half.
Oh my God. Now, all right, I got to ask you, this is totally off the realm of video games, but I know you're an overall geek just like me, so I had to ask you this because this hit the news earlier this morning about Marvel, and rumor has it is that Marvel Studios are in talks with Beyonce to play a character in one of their movies. When I read that headline, I instantly lost my mind because I'm like, I'm not a Beyonce fan. Two, I've had the displeasure of seeing her act, and her acting is horrible. And for Marvel to tap into her to play a character, I thought this is the worst thing they can possibly do. What are your thoughts on that? And what character could she possibly play in your mind?
Oh goodness, I'm so glad I'm not alone because I thought the same thing. I was like, I love looking at Beyonce like anybody, right? But like, oh goodness, I can't see her on the big screen. She it's just not gonna work. And the sad thing is that I mean, there have been rumors that she would play a couple of X-Men, but of course that would be Fox, so that wouldn't make any sense because Fox owns all the X-Men rights. Somebody like Boom Boom or something. There's also been rumors that she could play Tigra, who of course was a more recent Avenger. She would require her to have a lot of makeup, full body paint, that whole deal, probably not a lot of lines. Somebody like her, it's hard to say. You know, you can have her play somebody like She-Hulk, maybe, because she could still be feminine but strong. But I really don't know. I can't see her playing any kind of a major character, really, because she's not that good.
Exactly, and that's my point. I'm like, the minute I read it, it was like I had this feeling in my stomach, like it turned upside down, and it was like I wanted to. If I had a direct line to Stan Lee, I would have called him and told him, like, look, tell them to stop. Stop it right now. It's a bad idea, and I'm quite sure it's a lot of other Marvel fans that had that same sentiment. It's just really crazy. And there you have it. From the mouth of babes right there. Ray Carcillo, the review editor at Electronic Gaming Monthly, EGMnow.com, RayCarcillo.com. Arkham Knight, just hours away from its release. Make sure if you don't have, you didn't pre-order it, you probably can still pre-order it now. Make sure you guys go and check it out. It's a very great game, and I can't wait. I'll be up at midnight playing Arkham Knight. And Ray, thanks so much for joining us, man.
No problem, son. Anytime.
And we'll be back right after this.